CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Betzer with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Gregory, the two pieces of news that strike me as unexpected, but there it is. One, Apple has indicated over these last days that it will be moving some or most, or certainly the dominant part of its iPhone production from the mainland, from the iPhone city, up to 300,000 Chinese working there, to other parts of Asia, perhaps Vietnam, perhaps India is mentioned. And this time, it doesn't look like Apple's teasing this. It looks like the turmoil in China, the expectation it will continue. The second piece is this headline in Bloomberg. China's factories struggle with slow dismantling of COVID curbs, which is a generalization of the iPhone Apple news. But then how China looks to be easing its COVID zero strategy. There's the mystery in addition. It looks city to city and municipality to municipality. Everybody's got a different version. Lockdown, testing, screening, shortages. Who's in charge right now? You entertain the possibility the Chinese Communist Party could disappear. It looks like it's not even showing up nationally.
Well, there's no question that these protests and the decline of the economy simultaneously and the COVID, the realities of the COVID situation, not the zero COVID lockdown policy, but all of these have conspired to show that the Communist Party of China cannot control multiple crises in the way in which they thought they could or planned to do. They certainly have the world's most advanced surveillance state, where they can identify malefactors across the country or almost anywhere they move, whether it's in buses or crossing the road, they can track people. It's still not enough. The protests have become bolder and bolder. Yes, they have been blunted a little in the last week, but the reality is that coupled with the decline of the economy, we're seeing that Xi Jinping is now having to rush around trying to put Band-Aids on the situation. And moreover, because he insisted through his ruthless campaigns over the past few years, and particularly this year, to become the sole power, literally greater than Mao in many respects in his control of the party and the state, he is now solely responsible and visibly seen to be solely responsible. So the protests are increasingly geared against him personally. And a lot of people, particularly young people who have been isolated from any international reporting on China in the last couple of decades, are now starting to see that all is not well with the Communist Party. These were the young pinks, particularly, who basically might have had some complaints, might have been lazy, might have been privileged and the like, but they basically didn't oppose the Communist Party. Now they are starting to oppose the Communist Party. The question is whether she can get out in front of that and control them. And he's attempted to do so with some of these promises of improving access to mortgages, to jobs and the like. But it's probably too little, too late. What we saw, of course, with the situation with the death of Jiang Zemin, one of the great rivals of Xi Jinping, was that it looked as though Jiang's death was going to eclipse the Xi-Biden meeting at the Bali G20 summit on November 14th, because Xi covered up the reality that Jiang Zemin died on November the 13th, the day before his summit with Biden. So they covered it up until November the 30th so that they could announce the tragic death of 96-year-old Jiang Zemin, another great villain of the peace, if you like. Even though he was opposed to Xi in many ways, he was largely opened the gates for Xi to take power. So basically, they timed the announcement of Jiang's death so that it could drive the protest movement off the front pages, if you like, or the minds of the Chinese population in social media. So they're trying to portray Jiang's death as a time to reflect, time to come together and the like. But this is not really working. Yes, it is getting more media attention in mainland China, but it's still not resolving the issue that the population are concerned about. And they're going to become more concerned because the economy is getting worse and worse. As you pointed out, when you lose just at one instance 300,000 jobs for building iPhones, for example, which is now that's now becoming a reality, you're also seeing the cost of food going up through the roof and further problems literally every day coming out to the Chinese population. So Xi Jinping has got a very tough road ahead of him.
And you still entertain the unthinkable that Xi Jinping is the last of the general secretaries of the Chinese Communist Party, that within the next year or 5 years, we could see a turmoil and a different China. We have 30 seconds.
Xi may not be the last general secretary, but he's going to be the last one that controls power. I think we're going to see the party start to break up. Already the fact that we're seeing variations in the zero COVID policy across the country is a sign that the country is fracturing back into regional controls. And that was what Mao had to fight against through his career, which was warlordism.
We're headed to Europe, Ukraine conflict, the talk of negotiations, not yet. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.